Today's reading is from Ephesians 1, verse 16 through 19. Please turn to Ephesians 1, 16 through 19 in your Bible, or turn to page 947 in the Bibles provided. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelations so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his comparably great power for us who believe. You may be seated, and the children may go to children's church.
Take a moment to consider, what are the most important things in your life? We live in luxury in the fact that we don't have to make those decisions every day that are life-threatening. Of course, we do make them in how we have our actions and everything, but we hardly ever have to, like, solely choose that some in the world are having to do. So take a moment, bow your head, and consider what you would think are the most important things in your life. Lord, as we consider these things, let us always be Christ-focused. Let us consider you and your words, what you would have for us, Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us your wisdom to live a life for you, Lord. A foundation in Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. As I pray, you can tell my bias to a certain point is one of the most important things in our life should be to know Christ and to make him known. Now, when I look in the mirror, I want to be the best me. You would hope so. When any of us look in the mirror, we want to be the best me. I want to have good relationships. I want to have the best marriage. You know, I sometimes tease my wife and she apologized for something. Said, honey, I married later in life. I waited like 35 years for you. It's okay. Sometimes I think I'm a little arrogant that I understand and appreciate marriage better than my friends who got married and they're 21. Because they're like, oh, I wish I'd have been single and lived the way of life first. I'm like, no, you don't. But I want to have the best marriage. You know, I want to be the best husband. If you're a woman, you want to be the best wife. We should want to be the best mother or father, best brother or sister, son or daughter that we can be. And it sounds so simple until you go to the self-help section of the bookstore. There's hundreds of books of how to be the better you. And which one is the best book? Well, I'm a pastor, and so you know my answer, duh. The Bible gives us the best answers for our priorities. I believe our best hope is foundational in the Lord God Almighty in Jesus Christ. When we read here in Ephesians, we're reading Paul writing to a church in Ephesus that he's worked with. And he has very kind and good things to say at this part in the letter. He says in verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This isn't just one of those, well, I prayed for you yesterday. I mean, it sounds like he is praying for them on a regular basis. And I'll be real honest with you. It's a lot easier for me to pray for y'all and for my kids than for people I don't know. I mean, I pray for people I don't know. But we all tend to pray a little more fervently, a little more at home for the people we know. If your brother is sick, you will probably pay more, you will most likely pray more passionately for them than anyone else in this church who only knows them through you. That's just human nature. And he goes, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you. He's talking to the Ephesians, but to me that just echoes throughout history to all of us here today. It's as if it was written to us. Those principles are the same then as now. That he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The power of prayer and thanksgiving. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. We should all want such prayers for ourselves. If someone was to pray that for me, I'd say amen and keep praying. And we should pray that for each other, for our family, for our church, for our community, other churches, that he, God, may give us a spirit, give you all, me, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I don't think it's not just for self. I mean, I want to be wiser. I want to have revelation about what God's doing. But it's specifically, in the context, to know Christ. That our wisdom and our revelation is in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing him better and better. A Christ-centered life. A life with eternity in mind of Jesus Christ. And if you're like me, that's not easy. I get caught up in today's problems. And we should. But we should always have an eternal view in Christ. Because life, if it's not difficult today, there's a good chance it will be tomorrow. You've heard me use the term roller coaster. Life is often a roller coaster ride. Good economic times, bad economic times, illness, sickness, death, adversity. Life is hard. But when we know Christ, it may not change the circumstances. Sometimes it does. But oftentimes it doesn't. But when we know Christ, it changes how we respond and how we live through those circumstances. It is a different approach. It is an eternal approach. Not that God takes the pain away, but in the oftentimes that pain and suffering, he is with us and he grows. It's been since I've shared this story. It's a story that is true. I heard it firsthand and it's still difficult for me to grasp. But there's a woman whose husband I knew. I was calling him for my eye appointment and I got the office and they said, well, he's not in. Well, that was strange. And they said, well, he won't be in for a couple months. That was even stranger because there was no answer to why. And I found out he was sick. I don't remember his age. He's probably in his 50s, mid-50s. Him and his wife had, I think, 5 girls. And what I found out was he had some type of organic brain disease, a dementia. It was, relatively speaking, a short battle, not years upon years, but maybe months or a little over a year, and he passed. And this woman was now a single woman with 5 children. And I remember some 4 or 5 years after this, she made this comment. And she goes, how the Lord worked with me, what he did in my life, how he ministered to me, how I grew in my knowledge of Christ. And I don't know the exact words, but it's generally what she said. She goes, I would never want that taken away. And we get that. And she goes, and a friend asked me, even if it meant you could get him back? And she goes, no. Call me selfish, I probably want my wife back. I remember her saying that, and it stuck with me. And I think it's not that she's saying she wouldn't want him back, but what she's saying is, Christ is before all. And when we put Christ before all, we understand the other things will happen, and we still choose Christ. It's easy to follow Jesus when we get what we want, and she was saying, I will follow him no matter what. I heard her say that in person. And I've never forgotten that. And I can't say that I could say that. I pray to God I never have to choose that. And you know, I understand a lot of people couldn't maybe ever say that, but we understand the importance of Christ first. And often how the difficulties of life will challenge us in that. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you. Eyes of our heart is a metaphor for our soul, our spirit, and even our mind. And how our spirit and our mind work together, I don't know. But they be enlightened in order that, not that we just be wise and have revelation, the hope to which he has called us. To fully grasp that. You know, one of the things that happens when you hear people about the term is NDE, near-death experiences. And there's a new movie coming out about it. I'll be curious about it. I don't claim they're all Christ-centered, but one of the things is that when people come back, their perspective is often changed. Again, there was a lady, I think she was in a rafting accident and went underwater, and she goes, where I was, I never want to come back. And they go, you have children. She goes, I didn't care. I wanted to be with the Lord. Again, I don't fully understand that. She wasn't setting her children aside, but to know Christ surpasses all things. Surpasses all things. You know, it is a story I told you once before of a mother whose son died in the mission field. And instead of, I'm just going to be honest with you, I would be mad at God. That's me. I wish I could tell you, oh no, I'll struggle through, but I'd probably be mad at God. And she goes, she said, I'd rather have my son die on the mission field than to live nearby me and not following the Lord and doing what the Lord had called him to. That's to know Christ and have eternal view first. A view that Christ surpasses all. You know, as I preach a sermon like this, it's like, Lord, I don't know that I can live this sermon. I'm serious. If that happened to me, I'd probably be mad at God. I would struggle with that. I'm not saying she's more spiritual than me. Well, yes, actually, I should say that. I'm sure she did struggle. She probably was mad at God to a certain point. But when it came down to the foundation of what she must do, she chose Christ and put it in God's hands. And it's better to die serving the Lord than to be here disobeying God just because I want him here. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know to the hope which he has called you. With what is going on in Israel today, of course it brings up end times discussions. And are we in the end times? And it's a fascinating study, but I'm also cautious. Is I remember when the Oslo Accord came out. Is that the end times? 9/11, is that the end times? Regardless of what is happening there, we should always live that Christ is imminent. We shouldn't need this to happen to spar our hearts. I can get kind of jaded with politics, but I remember when 9/11 happened, the House of Congress, and I think both houses, House Reps and Senate, saying God bless America, and for weeks, churches were full of people. And then we got back to our regular routine, and we realized it wasn't the end of the world. Congress went back to being Congress, which, you know, it's people. We went back to being people, and the people who weren't coming to church before then, most of them didn't stay. I pray for the Israeli government, because I wouldn't want to be in their situation as a democracy. What do you do? I pray for the Israeli and Jewish people. I pray for the Palestinian people. I mean, there's just, what do you do? I support the Palestinian people. I support the Jewish people. I support the Israeli government. I don't support Hamas or anybody that would support them. I pray for their salvation, that they'd come to know Christ. And do I want revenge? And I'm sure there's Israelis who want revenge. I'm sure there's Palestinians who want revenge what was done to them. But the Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And that's not a government issue. I'm glad Ukraine's fighting back against Russia. I'm glad we fought against Nazism. I'm glad Israel wants to exterminate Hamas. But not with the issue of revenge. I'm not even sure what justice looks like in this situation. But I want it to stop. I want it to stop. And I don't want Palestinians and Jews to be killed. And yet I know they will be. And I have no answer. And I'm glad I'm not the one making that decision. And when I read it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it seems to be even more of a burden on our hearts when they see what's happening over there. Innocent people are killed. Military personnel are giving their life. And yet I would still pray, even though I wish Hamas would be exterminated, I'd pray for the salvation of those who are in it. Lord, enlighten our hearts so that we can see people and break for people. Have our hearts break for them the way yours does. Because we are all in the image of God. And even though I cannot understand such unspeakable evil, and what's sad is we think of how bizarre that is, but that is how long since the Holocaust? How long since we were killing each other? I can tell you of horrors in the church. The church persecuted people and killed people. It's easy to pick on Muslims right now. The church's history, America's history, we've made mistakes. Every country has. And what's sad is how almost normal in the history of mankind what happened is. And I'm glad we're at a point in history where when it happens, it's startling to us instead of the norm. And I want it to stop. And so we pray. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, order that we may know to the hope which he has called us, in order that we know Christ and make him known to those who are in deep need of him. The riches and glories of his inheritance to his holy people, and his incurably great power for us believe. And I didn't know how this power means, incomparably great power for us who believe. And sometimes we think it's for us, and we live a spiritually empowered life, and that's true. But also, it's in ways that we often miss. There's one of the most common Bible verses you'll hear is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you hear athletes say, and I'm not getting down on athletes, but we all say it, but they misunderstand it, because the whole thing is about suffering for Christ. He goes, I have learned to live without. I have gone hungry, but I can do all things through Christ. Yes, if I was running a marathon, I'd be dying and praying that verse. I'm smart enough, I don't run marathons. But it's about serving Christ and suffering for him and having a heart for people. And you can say, well, how can you say you want Hamas exterminated and wanting them saved? And yes, it is difficult. There was a man who went on a rampage, and we don't know if he killed himself in Maine. And I'm against everything he did. I can't understand it.
But I would have prayed that he'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at the Holocaust and how many people went through that, committed those crimes, and never repented. Died thinking what they did was okay. And how many people are like that today? And we pray that they would come to know Christ and his incomparably great power to repent. That their eyes would be enlightened and opened to know Christ and repent. And we can easily say, well, my sins aren't that bad. But there be us, but for the grace of God. Eichmann was a mastermind behind much of the Jewish killings and murder. And there's this term called the banality of evil. Banal means just commonplace, pedestrian. And a man had to stand and give testimony against Eichmann. And that's where the term was kind of coined, because he looked at Eichmann and he looked just like you and me. I mean, you would think he'd have 666 written across his forehead. He'd have a shaved skull. He'd have horns that his incisors would be somehow sharpened to look like a vampire. But he looked like you and I. Oh, the depths of sin that could reside in our hearts. What if, I'm German, what if I was raised in a Nazi youth cult? And I don't know what it is. Many turned against it and they gave their lives because they didn't follow. They were either shunned, killed, or broken economically. Would I have had that courage? I don't know. And I pray I never have to find out. But when we make Christ known, when we live in eternity, if I have ever would have hope to make the right decision, it would not be because I'm strong and I'm committed. It'd be because I know Christ. And he's enlightened my heart. And I've been given a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him and live in his eternity. Or otherwise, I would break. And I would break fast. But when we know Christ, when you know Christ, a mom can say, he took my son and he died, and I don't understand it, but I serve him. And I'm sure maybe she struggled with anger. I know she grieved, but she knew Christ. And so the question is, how do we get to know Christ in such a way that I could challenge you, challenge myself, look in the mirror and say, what would I do? How do we live such an enlightened life for Christ? We have to choose the most important things to live out that. You know, in our church, last week, we went through our doctrinal statement, which explains who and what we believe. And what we do is we have like core values. I believe things that we should all have as foundational. Prayer, Bible, fellowship, giving, service, outreach. I believe those aren't the only things, but they're core things that if you want to get to know Christ, you have to do those things. You just have to. Odds are most of you aren't going to have some spiritual vision of Jesus or an angel showing up into you. I mean, Paul had the Damascus Road. Paul was going to kill Christians. The Lord came down on the Damascus Road, revealed himself, and he turned around and became the most prolific Christian missionary apostle in the world. Odds are that's not going to happen to you or I. Not say it won't. I mean, I've heard of visions in the Middle East, people seeing visions of Christ and turning to him. But I know what we have here. And so while you're waiting for that vision, I suggest the two most powerful things I've preached since I've got here. Prayer and Bible. And I don't care which one comes first. It's very difficult to know Christ and live a life for him if you're not praying and reading the Bible. Imagine if you had a friend and they sent you emails, they sent you texts, they sent you voicemail, they called you, and you just were too busy to respond. Would you get to know them? And what if this friend was so committed to you, they would never stop? You would never get to know him until you started reading the emails, reading the letters, reading the texts, calling them on the phone, listening to what they have to say. You have to be an active participant. Prayer and Bible are foundational for that. Usually between different sermon series I do, like we finish Matthew and we talk about the women's issue, I will go over prayer and Bible. It's foundational, it's something we all need to read scripture. And it's one of those things, I'm not catching you off guard. I mean, I hope nobody's like, wow, Doug believes that? I had no idea. When did that happen? Doug wants me to pray? No. He thinks the Bible's important? You've got to be kidding me. I mean, if you're there, I failed. Hire a new pastor. Quickly. But that's not true. When I face the Lord, I will not be guilty of that. The Lord might say, some people didn't pray, some people didn't read. But Doug, you told them over and over and over. Some of them maybe even got a little sick of it. Oh, here's that sermon again. If it isn't about giving, it's about prayer and Bible. You know, we all know we should. Okay? Just like all of you know you should be a better person. But what are you doing to do it? You know, my old saying again, I love saying this, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I'm not going to get into so many of the details, but my goal today is to get you to commit to do it or to commit to improve. Start small, making a commitment to deepen your walk, a commitment to pray, a commitment to read scripture. A goal without a plan, because you're going to have a goal, okay? I'm going to read scripture more, I'm going to pray more. Without a plan is merely a dream or a wish. A dream or a wish. If you don't sit down and say, how am I going to do this today? In 5 years when we come back, God willing, if we're alive, you will be having the same dilemma then as you do now. You've got to make a commitment. You've got to. There's all kinds of help. There's books. There's prayer journals. You know, how to read the Bible for dummies. Somebody told me, yeah, it's not a book I like to carry around. You know, New Testament, most of us can catch that. You start reading the Old Testament, you know, as that friend say, everything was going okay until my first genealogy or Leviticus. And I'm like, you know what, just skip it. God's gracious, come back later. It's hard to understand. I mean, I'm not saying it should be ignored. All scripture is God-breathed, even the boring stuff. But I want you to learn to read. You got to start with the basics. Get a reading plan. Buy a chronological Bible. Get a prayer journal. I don't do prayer journals. I do prayer lists. I'm a list person. You know, I'm one of those people that if I do something and I got it done, I put it on my list so I can cross it off. That's a little OCD. That's my life. I would say pray for Christy, but she's the same way. That's my pray for our kids. You know, I mean, I don't know how you operate. I get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee and pray and start that way. Some people it might be lunch. Some people it might be evening. It doesn't matter. Your prayers are not more spiritual in the morning. They're not. Your prayer that is more spiritual is the prayer you pray. And you've got to commit to pray. You've got to make commitment. And don't, oh, you know what? The Bible says, could you not pray 1 hour? I'm going to pray an hour a day. If you haven't prayed an hour in a day, you're not going to make it. Shoot for 5 minutes. God would rather take 5 minutes of prayer than an hour of wishing you prayed. And you know, I'm just a person. I've fallen asleep praying. Now, if I fall asleep talking to Christy, I get a thump. Good for her. I mean, God's very gracious. He's never thumped me. I mean, it takes commitment. Well, you know, I fell asleep. Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. You know, an analogy I always use. If you want to run a marathon, you don't start running 26 miles tomorrow. If you haven't run, you might just start walking 15 minutes first. You got to start small. Start where you're at, but have a goal. You know, the old SMART goal. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. Okay, I'm going to commit to pray 5 minutes a day. I get up at 6:30 a.m. or before I go to bed at 10 a.m. I'm asleep by 10, if God willing, you know, so that's not good for me. Some of you are night owls. If you're a night owl, run with it. If you're a morning person, run with it. If it takes coffee, go with it. You know, the t-shirt, just hand me my coffee and nobody gets hurt. You know, just hand me my coffee and I can pray. But we've got to commit. You've got to make it a goal. You have to. You know, and that's why we have pastors. I mean, I have people come and say, hey, I'm having trouble studying this. What can I help me with? Or, you know any good prayer journals? We look it up. I invite people to the office. Come into the office and we can look things up and I'll see what you like. Because sometimes there's so much out there. And there is. And is it good? I say, well, Send me what you're looking at, and I might be like, stay away from that dude as far as you can. Or like, you know, oh, this guy, anything he writes, I'm safe, I'm good with. You know, I might disagree with him, but this is the kind of guy, if he says it and if he's preaching it, if he's praying it, if he's asking you to read it, go with it. There's just some people I trust. There's some people I don't trust. And then God uses some of the strangest people in the world. Of course, people look at me and say that. But you got to commit to prayer and Bible. And it's got to be more than just a want. If you want to know Christ, and you know, I'll be real honest with you, that's a scary thing. Because sometimes I pray like, Lord, I just want to go to church and preach a good sermon. I want a bike. I want to raise my daughters at home. I want Jacob to be okay at school. And I just want to be okay and live the life I'm living in Coffeyville because it's good. And Lord, I've picked up and moved a couple times for you, and it was hard every single time. And I'm really good. If I could just coast here for a while. And you know what happens when you pray? Sometimes you get the... You don't know what I've got planned for you. Sometimes the prayer is, Lord, give me the courage to know you better and then to live out what you would have me to do. It's scary. I've made the comment before. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I don't know what God will call you to do. And it's scary. It's just downright sometimes tiring. But do we want to know Christ? You know, the Hamas and Israel and Palestine thing can start arguments. And it's worth arguing about, to be honest. But maybe before we argue and debate, we should be praying more. Okay, not maybe. We need to. You know, when the Bible says pray for Jerusalem, you know, sometimes I kind of forget about that. When this happens, I'm like, I mean, when was that written? 2,500 years ago? 3,000 years ago? And we're still praying? How many cities could you say that about? I mean, New York's been around how many hundreds of years? And do you think it'll be around in 1,000 years? I wouldn't put my money on it. Pray for Jerusalem. To know Christ. To make him known. That the eyes of our heart would be enlightened in order that we would know his power. that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. You see, it's foundational. If we know him better, everything else comes together. Everything else comes together if we know him. And then we can make the difficult decisions. We can live the life he would have for us. Lord, give us as a church a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we would know you better and live the life you would have for us. And the foundational way, and we'll go over the other four, but the foundational way today is scripture and prayer. So when we took a 10-second, 15-second break to consider what was the most important thing, I'm sure our kids, our family, our focus, some people might be going through health issues, economic downturns, and those are all important, and I will not deny those. But I would challenge us today to put Christ above all of those, because when we know when he's above us, he'll work through everything else. Believe me, not in the way we always want. Not in the way we always want, but in the way that is always for his glory and for his will. And oftentimes it's difficult and it's hard. But to know Christ is our call as believers. To make him known, to be a follower of him. Let us be up to the challenge of like, no matter what Christ would have for us, that we would be willing to follow him. And that we would commit to his word, commit to prayer and seeking him. However you pray, whether it's through a prayer journal, a prayer list, whether it's 1 minute a day to start out with, or 10 minutes. Whether you're into reading the Old Testament or the New Testament, that we would know him and live for him. That is a challenge for all of us that we must take up every day for our life. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, these scriptures reverberate through us, challenge us. Lord, it's so difficult at times to choose you. But Lord, let us realize that in choosing you first, all things come together and all things work to your glory. And all things are eternal. Lord, the challenges before me personally, before our church, all of us here today, for our community, for our nation. Lord, we are in a nation that is in deep need of prayer. Let us be the people that pray. Lord, Israel, the Middle East, Muslims, Arabs, Palestinians, Jews, those at war, those who are terrorists, those who are democracy, those who are dictators, Lord, are all in deep need of prayer. Let us be a people that prays for them. Lord, let us seek your guidance and your holy word. Let us commit to these things, Father. More than just a wish, more than just a goal, but the reality and practicality of our life. We pray this in your holy name, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.